Okay. Hare Krishna. Good. Wow. It's so nice, even though it's Wednesday. Even though it's Wednesday morning, we still have a nice crowd. This was all started extra for the pandemic, but a lot of people went back to work, but we're still having it. So that's really great. Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhulila 23, text 517. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Adi Deva Jaya Jaya Nityananda Roy Chaitanya Kirtana Spure Yanhara Kripai. All glories to Lord Nityananda, the primeval Lord, by whose mercy glorification of Lord Chaitanya manifests. Om Jnanati Manandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I didn't really look over the verses, but when I speak in Vrindavan, I never do anyway, but I like to do it here. But I thought I would share with you first, some thoughts I have about some Monday morning greetings. And I think it's a good opportunity for me because basically, well, what I already started, it's called the culture of faith. And I think sometimes when I speak things, sometimes they become clear. So it'll be like an exercise to help me write the next two Monday morning greetings. And I think it'll be interesting. Well, the culture of faith comes from an academic conference I used to hold every year outside of North Massachusetts in a place called Sherborne. The history it is, I'm kind of trying to have a vision of Krishna consciousness. So I knew these devotees that preached on the West Coast. I knew these devotees that preached on the East Coast. And simultaneously, they were all leaving the Brahmachari ashram, which generally means they'll proceed to get married eventually and they have to seek a career. Now, they were intellectually bent. So the career they wanted was the academy. The academy means to, you know, professorship. So my idea is I put them together because I felt in the academy, you'll hear a lot of relativistic views, especially if you study religion, that may not be, may be challenging to one's faith. So I thought if they have camaraderie among themselves, you know, that would give strength. And I also added some senior Vaishnavas selectively, just two. One was His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami. They're both good friends of mine, who is the main editor for Prabhupada's books and a legend for so many reasons, and a perfect fit. And the other one was Pradyumna Prabhu, who is Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor. And I don't know anybody more learned than him. So people would make presentations according to the field of study they were doing. And one person wanted to make a presentation about Prabhupada's Gita, analyzing Prabhupada's Gita. So I was kind of uncomfortable because it was like a critical analysis. And he was even using books where a scholar wrote a whole book, Bhagavad Gita as it was, to criticize Prabhupada's Gita. So I wasn't feeling so comfortable, but I had to negotiate a fine line between the academy, where it's based on critical study, and the fact that we're all devotees in Krishna consciousness. Well, I listened, not so happy in one sense with the discussion, with the presentation, but the discussion afterwards, half the people there had studied the Gita with me in the higher education school I started in New Jersey for studying basically the Gita in a devotional and scholarly way. And their experience was that by studying in line from Prabhupada and the people who have been trained by Prabhupada understood the books, their understanding of Gita was so much deeper than what they found in the academy. They actually had a thorough, deep, not just devotionally, but intellectually, their study was deep. But somehow I still wasn't comfortable because of the devotee gathering. I wasn't sure about the subject. Pradyumna came late, and then I asked Pradyumna about it, about the, you know, what happened. And he said that it's very, very sensitive. And he said in devotional scholarship, there's something called, he called it the culture of faith. He gave me several examples. I'll just give one that Pradyumna was known to the greatest Sanskrit scholars in India. It's just amazing who knew him and who he knew and who knew him. So he said that the present day Madhva scholars that were, which he knew, and I had met this person incidentally in an Ayurvedic doctor that I was visiting, that they would find some mistakes in commentaries 500 years ago. And they were writing about it, but they would never say it was wrong. He said they would say Rishi Uchu, and they would state what the commentator 500 years ago said, and then they would state what they felt was the correction of it. And he called it the culture of faith, and he gave some other examples. I thought it was very interesting, the culture of faith. And what is faith? It's trust by experience. If we're going to learn anything, it's going to be by necessity beyond our experience. It's within our experience. We don't need to know it. Of course, an expert teacher will work through our frame of reference to expand our frame of reference. But a humble person who is learning in life should understand without doubt by his experience of constantly being enlightened. That our life should be constant enlightenment, constant expansion of consciousness by studying the Shastra, by listening to classes, by reflecting on things and applying them. We should be growing. And when we're growing, we will always see our previous experience before the point that we were enlightened with was lacking in complete perception. And it should be a continual process that goes on. So really, learning really requires faith. It requires that trust. Without that trust, you are stuck to your limited frame of reference. Oh, no, I agree 99%, but this I don't agree with. What that means is I am agreeing when it conforms to my authority. So what do you do when something comes up that appears to be a mistake or appears to be wrong? Well, if you actually have a relationship with a teacher that developed that trust, that teacher is an authority in knowledge in the field of study that you want, then when there's something that belies your understanding, your common sense, then you raise your doubts to get them cleared. You don't doubt the authority, you doubt your understanding. And if it's still not clarified, if you have enough trust and experience by that relationship, you can just be satisfied to say, I don't understand. But respecting the culture of faith, because without faith, we're limited to our own frame of reference. I think it was William James, I think, wrote The Varieties of Religious Experience. He said, if a young boy wants to understand if a young girl loves him, he first has to go with the assumption she does. Otherwise, you'll never find out. And the Vedic conception of understanding, I think it's something like you hear with faith, then you think about it and try to understand this point, which is beyond your present reference, but because the teacher spoke it with a sense of authority and couched it in a frame of reference that you can understand. You think about it, and then when you apply it, then you realize it. And that's how one becomes enlightened. So somehow this week, that's the subject I'm going to write about. And I do not have any choice but to write about the subject I'm going to write about, because it is not easy to find a subject to write about. So when it comes, I write about it, because another one may not come and I can't wait because the week is going on. Now, the second thing I just want to share with you before we'll go to our present reading. I forgot who told me this, but someone told me that Ridhananda Maharaj was going to be on a podcast discuss Krishna West with Venkata Bhatt. He's quite a brilliant person, I've observed. So I had some time yesterday afternoon. I don't usually do this, sitting, but I thought I would watch it. And it was a very interesting discussion. The first thing I liked it about it is that I like public intellectual discourse. I think it's just so healthy. And it was a really good discourse. Ridayananda Maharaj is quite a brilliant person. Brahmatirtha was there also. He's quite a brilliant person. And Namras is a very substantial devotee. I knew him when I was in the Tuaco temple. He was just a young boy. Comes from a wonderful family. But you know, he's done a wonderful thing with this. What's it called? Something in the morning. Anyway, he has a podcast. I think this is really the first one I saw, but it was so well done. So I had a realization about Krishna West, which is what I always thought about Krishna West. I've learned a little bit more about it. Now, my understanding of how it started is basically Western temple, ISKCON temples became Indianized by the diaspora of Indians who financially could support the temple at times where it was in great financial trouble, and to fill up the temples with supporters. Because after Prabhupada left, Prabhupada didn't have an Indian congregation. There was no congregation. You're either in or you're out. Prabhupada wasn't preaching to the Indians in America. Like membership was in India. It just something. So temples were struggling, and Indians didn't have this cultural barrier. Rather than this is joining a cult, this is, wow, my religion is here in the West. But at the same regard, they've become the presentation, because people generally act through their culture, not in a bad way. I mean, people, it's natural. And it's kind of a mixture of Indian culture, but not Indian culture, but it's their culture. And churches themselves tend to congregate among like-minded people. Even in the Christian church, the Episcopalians are so much different than the Pentecostals. So there's a great difference. So I didn't say that, different churches. So he formed Krishna West to preach to the Westerners. He said, Pasyata Prabhupada's pranam mantra was to preach to the Westerners. And in doing that, because he's so fiery, he attacked the present cultural presentation for Westerners. I don't think he objected among Indians, but Westerners. And he attacked that cultural presentation. And then basically felt to spread Krishna consciousness, you had to be divorced from the Indian culture. Not the philosophy, not bhakti. And he's a scholar and a historian. He was explaining how certain aspects of the culture actually come from the Muslims in North India and et cetera. And the food is not suitable and this is not suitable. The way it was presented was not so attractive to Western people. And to someone who grew up in Krishna consciousness, where the temples were burgeoning with so many Western devotees, this became discouraging. And Ridayananda is a very sincere, dedicated person who is trained personally by Prabhupada, and he's extremely Kshatriya-like and fiery and brilliant and polemic. But it never sat well with me completely. And I think Venkata Bhatt, and I may write about this, stressed it. That it's not about Western or Indian. It's about accessibility, making Krishna consciousness accessible. And obviously there were lackings in making it accessible when the congregation was just Indians. to Westerners and probably the class or type of Indians that were there, it wasn't accessible. But the problem wasn't Indian culture. The problem was the authenticity of what they were presenting and the realization in how to present it and the selection of what to present. And I'm saying that as a person has had relative success in preaching. And it's what works. That's what preaching is called. It means realization. You understand something and you package it. And in packaging it, you use different things. And there are aspects of Indian culture, and especially you have to be careful not to divorce yourself from the fundamental tradition. I don't think that's what Rida and Anandamarg meant. To divorce yourself from the fundamental tradition that gives you roots and power. There's always a danger of becoming too extreme in that way. And also because I've seen the success in New York. Even I give you an example too, is I have someone who's I've not initiated my bit, he's like a student, and he's the next generation of Sanskrit translators. He works for the BBT. There's Prabhupada, and then it went to Pradyumna and Gopi Pranadana, and now people like him are translating Sanskrit. He's also a fabulous musician, and no one chants. Maybe one day I can have him come on here. No one chants Sanskrit verses like him. No one. He even has a course. I'll put it on here next time. If any of you would like to learn in a very practical way, what is Udemi? Udemi. It's called Sanskrit Sense, with how to pronounce, with diagrams and where you put your tongue. It's so expertly done. It's so expertly done. So he's now made another Sanskrit course, and he's getting tremendous, tremendous grades by people who've taken his courses. Tremendous grades he gets. And that's how he maintains his family. You know, he gets from the BBT, but the modern age, you need a little bit more. He has two daughters and family. And so, and he's a musician, a really good musician. He was a classical guitarist. But in terms of pronunciation, at least in the Hare Krishna movement, there's no one that comes close. And his voice, he used to be, come to my Puri Yatra and sing that song. Karanga Karuna Kara Dinahin. He's beautiful. So Raghunath sometimes has a 10-minute spot for talented musicians. So I wanted to help him. I said, send me something, right? So he sent me something, and I sent it to Raghunath. And Kasturba looked at it, and they got, and this guy is, he's so impressive. They got back to me, and maybe I'll put them on the next time. They got back to me, and they said, no, this is just not what we want. And I was surprised, because he's just so expert. And then I called Raghunath, and he told me, he sent two of them, which one he listened to. Nityananda put, I mean, it's brilliantly done, and the visual, you can, he put this Sanskrit song to country and Western music. It's beautiful, but Raghunath said, does he have something authentic? So that's what I see. Raghunath and Kasturba are, you know, they're cool. You know, they wear their t-shirts, they're not in dhoti, they're not in the priestly attire. But they use the authenticity of the depth and authenticity of our Vaishnav culture to attract people to Krishna consciousness. I think no one's been more successful than Raghunath in bringing people from the West to Krishna consciousness. And one of the things he's most effective in doing it is Braja Bhajans, songs expressing the love of Radha and Krishna seems to be his main weapon. But by admission in that discussion, Hridayananda Maharaj did say that initially he felt he had to speak so strongly just to make the point, and that kind of polemic is in the past. But if I had to make any, which I never felt comfortable, is this wholesale kind of rejection of Indian culture and West. And what is Western culture? I wrote that in my Monday morning greetings. They asked Mahatma Gandhi, what do you think of Western culture? And he said, it'd be nice if they had one. So anyway, that was some thoughts. I think that's the thing I like to write about, make it, you know, as clear as possible, and sum that up. So sometimes I'll do that. Now, what we're having here is we had this whole description of how the Sankirtan mission began and how Lord Chaitanya first brought his devotees together. They develop community, like-minded people, swajatiya. And that way they can go deep without any inhibition. They can very deeply realize this rasa, this relationship with Krishna. And then by that force, somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, the Chankazi tried to stop it. Lord Chaitanya took the people to the streets with the first civil disobedience. And we've had those scenes, descriptions of the thousands of devotees with torches and torches and the kirtans, and how powerful the whole thing was, how beautiful it was. And then we had the detour to the house of this great devotee, Kolavacha Sridhar, who this poor, he sold banana leaves. He was so humble. He was so poor. He was so dedicated to Lord Chaitanya. And it came to the conclusion in this little part of it that was very important, that there's nothing more important in devotional service than serving the devotees. And you can't attain bhakti without the grace and mercy of the devotees. Such devotional service cannot be obtained without serving the devotees. Therefore, all the scriptures glorify the service of the devotees. And that's what we finished off. And now Vrindavan Das Thakur is glorifying his guru, Lord Nityananda, who is essential to understand and worship to actually please Lord Chaitanya, who's essential to understand and please to understand Radha Krishna. And to understand Radha Krishna is, you know, you can't do it without pleasing Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya. You can't please Lord Chaitanya without pleasing Lord Nityananda. And evidently, because Lord Nityananda was an avadut, it means a person on a level of devotional service in a particular psychology, that they lose track of the external. And they act spontaneously in ways that look socially I don't know, deviant, so socially unfit, and therefore their character comes under question. And Lord, and that happened with Lord Nityananda. And one of the purposes of Chaitanya Bhagavat is Lord is Vrindavan Das Thakur is defending him at every opportunity in every chapter. Kehe Bali Nityananda Balaranda Sam, Kehe Bali Chaitanya Bari Pritama. Some say Nityananda is equal to Balaram, and some say he is most dear to Lord Chaitanya. Some say he is a most plenary portion of the Lord, and others say we cannot understand who he is. Someone may consider Nityananda a living entity, some may consider him a devotee, and someone may consider him a jnani. They may say whatever they like. No matter what relationship Nityananda has with Lord Chaitanya, I keep the treasure of his lotus feet in my heart. Culture of faith. He's experienced the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Therefore, I kick the head of any sinful person who disregards the glories of Lord Nityananda and dares to criticize him. I offer my obeisance at the feet of Lord Chaitanya's dear devotee, so that Avadhut Chandra may become my Lord. So Avadhut Chandra means Lord Nityananda. He's Avadhut. Chandra means like a moon, very beautiful, but Avadhut. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, I came to know Lord Nityananda. And if Nityananda reveals Gaur Chandra to me, I will come to know him. Yasya Pasadad Bhagavat Pasado. Yasya Pasadad Nagati Katopi. Dayam Stuvams Tasya Yas Chastri Shandyam. Vande Guru Si Charanardavindam. Vande Guru Si Charanara Vindam. Vande Guru Si Charanara Vindam. By the mercy of Krishna, you get Guru. By the mercy of Guru, you get Krishna. That's all he's saying. Gaur Chandra and Nityananda are Sri Ram and Lakshman. Gaur Chandra is Krishna. Nityananda is Sankarsana. They're full manifestations of Krishna and Balaram. Nityananda's Sarup is empowered by the Lord to fully engage in the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya. Well, anyway, it's always discussing here, so I get a chance to sing my favorite song. Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chanda Susitala Ye chaya jagata durai, ye chaya jagata durai. Hey no nitai bine bai, Radha Krishna paite bai, Jidha kori daro nitai pai. Jidha kori daro nitai pai. Hey no nitai bine by Radha Krishna. Without, hey no nitai bine, without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you can't understand Radha Krishna. Therefore, hold on to his feet. And Nityananda also represents Guru Tattva. All the beloved principal servants of Lord Chaitanya know the glories of Nityananda. But the quarrels that are seen among devotees are simply Krishna's pastimes, which are not understood by all. So sometimes you'll see senior Vaishnavas arguing. And actually it says that we should not get involved or take sides. So sometimes we'll see that. And he's also seen it with Lord Nityananda and devotees, or those who follow Lord Nityananda and others. And he says they're simply Krishna's pastimes, which we're not understand. If someone takes the side of one Vaishnav and blasphemes the other Vaishnav, he is certainly vanquished. I should repeat that because I like when there's instructions of behavior that we should take into our heart. If someone takes the side of one Vaishnav and blasphemes another Vaishnav, he certainly vanquished. Purport, the fact, if we're understanding, one takes the side of one Vaishnav, then the other is neglected. As a result of such actions, offense is accrued. One who serves Krishna without deviation and without blaspheming anyone is counted as a Vaishnav. So a simple process of devotional service. Do your responsibilities seriously and don't criticize anyone. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo namatsaranam satam. What is a devotee? Namatsaranam. Matsara means hate, envy, without any envy or hate. That's what bhakti is, and that's what bhakti is for. Because we're talking about yoga, it means a clear mind, and nothing obscures the mirror of the mind more than envy or hate. It's so anti-yoga. So we have to be very careful. I offer my obeisances at the feet of Advaita. May my mind remain attached to those who adhere to him. All glories to Gauranga, along with his associates. Simply by hearing the topics of Madhya Khanda, one becomes a devotee. That sinful person who takes the side of Advaita and blasphemies Gadadhar can never be a servant of Advaita. So these are Panchatattva, and their followers are fighting. Actually, very interesting. Recently, these Vaishnavas contacted me. Well, Satyaraj told them to contact me. Anyway, we got. And they're from Vrindavan. And they have a place called Radhe Kunj. It's not far from the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And I know their Mahant, their guru for 30 years, and always respected as the, in the Gaudiya Math, he was respected for, he got a title, Sevaratna, the Jewel of Service. His service was so exemplary. And has happened when his guru left, his mutt split up and he was on his own. He started his own thing. And this person was never political at all. So he has this temper. And what he would do is all the young Westerners that would come to the Gaudiya Math, he would personally train them and they all gravitated around him. So somehow or other, he sent with funds three of his best men, they're all young men, mostly grew up in the movement, that been in India for 15, 16 years. And I had a nice talk with them. And see, that person who's the Mahant, he doesn't initiate, even though at that temple, Radhe Kunj, I told about, they cook for 300 people every day, ISKCON devotees, all Vaishnavas come. There's no sectarian thing because it's not, they're not his disciples. There's other disciples that are, and it's filled with Westerners. So I spoke to him, and the mood was so non-sectarian, completely non-sectarian, just want to preach and serve, and that's the mood. So I thought that was encouraging. And they're taking sides of one and blasphemy the other. And they're trained not to criticize, not to take, you know, not to criticize ISKCON, because their teacher doesn't. He doesn't criticize. Completely non-sectarian. He preaches Krishna consciousness and everybody is welcome. So the disciples take the mood of the guru, so they also have the same mood. They want to preach and enhance Krishna consciousness, not possess people. It was very nice, but yeah, the who takes sides can never be a servant of Advaita. The topics of Sri Chaitanya Chandra are sweet as nectar. Let this nectar inundate the minds of all living entities. One who is happy to hear the topics of Lord Chaitanya will certainly see his lotus feet. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Chandrajan Vrindavan Das Tachu Pare Yuga Gana. Accepting Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda as my life and soul, I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of their lotus feet. Thus ends the English translation of the Gaudiya Bhashya commentary on Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhya Kanda, chapter 23, entitled Wandering About Navadvip on the Day the Lord Delivered the Kazi. Congratulations, we all finished this whole chapter. And next time, chapter 24, the Lord displays his universal form to Advaita. So what a wonderful story to nourish our souls. Gaudiya Bhashya, I think, means by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, so there's commentary. So I'm finished there for today. I don't think I should go on to another, but we could have time for reflections. If the class ends 5 or 10 minutes early, so you can go on with what you have to do. Anybody have any reflections?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bo.
Really, thanks for class. It's funny, I was in a class with Vakanta after that show, and I heard people talking, so I didn't understand what was going on. So thank you for that explanation that sort of filled me in on what that was about.
What was that?
So I was in a call with Vakanta after and I heard people talking. They were referring to it, but I didn't understand the context.
Yeah,
so
that's what happened. I watched it. It was a very gentlemanly discussion.
Yeah, thank you for, because I was like, oh, so thank you for that. And I was really loving the point about not taking sides. I think that there's so much of that, and it's so hard not to take sides, but to the way you put it, a Vaishnav does not take sides. And
well, we do have to defend, not ourselves, but sometimes our tradition. But there's also a principle, Vaishnava doesn't argue, and it means not out of false ego. And mostly it's false ego. If necessity is there, we absolutely have to speak strongly or et cetera. But especially when there's two senior Vaishnavas, right? Like on the level of, like say for you, on the level of Prabhupada's disciples or something, and they're in a discussion. You know, we can be convinced of one side of another, but we shouldn't become the enemy. Good. Thank you, Jamuna Jaya. Very good. Anybody else like to share a reflection?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. I actually just like I used to say clarification that you just made about taking sides. You know, it's not that you don't have an opinion, but you don't become the enemy. So I needed to hear that. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Gail. Anybody else?
Good morning, Maharaj. It's Isabel.
Isabel, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I like the concept about the authenticity and keeping it authentic, and it could come dressed in different ways. It could be in a dhoti or regular clothes. It's what actually kind of like lowered my intimidation when I was at the Bhakti Center, when I saw that, you know, it could be just like a regular person like me, or it could be somebody, you know, like you, and it's just like made it so much easier for me.
Right. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Our business is to share Krishna consciousness and whatever way we can do it. Yeah. Thank you, Isabel. Anybody Thank else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Hemala Tarrada.
Hi, Bo. Jai. Nice to see you.
Hi. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Maharaj. The only, I took note of a word, which is accessibility, summarizing a lot of what they've been saying already. But thanks for making Krishna consciousness accessible to me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Very good. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Hemant Lata Radha. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody just want to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Mukunda.
Oh, Karibo Mukunda. Hi. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much for the class.
Wow, you don't miss any classes.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Great, thank you.
Good opportunity that we can have you every week.
Wonderful, huh? You live on an island, right?
Yes.
Is it nice beaches there? Nice water? Clean?
Yeah, but we don't go to the beach these days because of the coronavirus. We don't go to the beach.
But there is there.
Yes.
Oh, yes, it is. It's very nice, yeah. So but it's very hot at this moment, Maharaj.
That's okay. So when I visit, I could go swim in the ocean.
Yes, of course. We love that.
Okay.
Hopefully one day.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Narmasaki here.
Oh, Haribo.
Haribo. And Guru Maharaj, when you come here, you can also come and swim in the Caspian Sea also.
How far is the Caspian Sea from you?
It's about 40 minutes.
Oh, nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in the south and in the north.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you very frankly, somehow my favorite place is in my room.
Yeah.
And I'm not for recreation, but sometimes. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lila Vrindavan Devi Dasi.
Wow, from Ecuador.
From Ecuador. Greetings.
Okay. Okay, good. Nice. We'll speak to you later. Good.
Yeah. See you later.
Good that you're on. It's great. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Gurudev, Lal Govinda.
Thank you for class.
Hari Bo.
I have to say, I always love to hear your bhajan singing.
Yeah.
I'm not known for that, but there's a few songs I really like. I never practiced, but I thought maybe... Now that I have more time, because there's no traveling, maybe I have my songbook.
That was very sweet.
I'll tell you a funny story about that. I was staying in my house in Vrindavan, and there's a college across the street, and I lived on the other side of the college, in a house that one of Satyut Marj's disciples built for him. And it was really like a funky sadhu house, and I stayed on the roof. And then this person saw me, someone has to mute their thing because I'm hearing the reverb. And then someone saw me, and I don't know, he was like, he thought I was someone else. And then he kept on the roof, and he was a music teacher. So he decided he wanted to teach me. So he decided that he would teach me the most difficult song in all. This is the most difficult song because every line is different. Then it goes, say sambanda nahija brita gela tama chate parada. It's like so complicated. He wanted to teach me. His name is Sevaras. So he taught me that song somehow and it became my favorite song. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Okay, Tota, Haribo.
Haribo.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Advaita.
Where are you, Advaita?
At the beach.
Oh, that's New Jersey Beach?
Yeah, that's by my house.
They don't arrest you in New Jersey?
I'm by myself, Maharaj.
Okay. No, you took me there. Did you take me there? Someone took
yes.
me.
Yes. Yep, this is the one.
That's like an inlet, right? That's not the ocean.
That's right, yes.
And what's that called?
A river.
Oh, it's a river. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what's the name of the river?
Oh, Tom's River.
That's the famous Tom's River.
This is the famous Tom's River.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end a few minutes early. I'll see you again on the weekend. Hare Krishna. Panchakalpa Tubhya.